Thank you. Our scripture reading this morning is found in the book of Mark, Mark 1, verses 14 through 20. It's a beautiful story. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, who was the brother of Simon. They were casting their nets into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boats mending the nets. And immediately he called to them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servant and followed him. May you be blessed by the reading of the scripture and by the words from Pastor Ben.
Well, we get to this passage this morning. What we see is that a Christian is a person who follows Jesus. It's really that simple. And so our passage today shows us that Mark is showing us what it looks like to begin following Jesus. Jesus is proclaiming his message of the kingdom and the gospel, and some of his first disciples are called, four men. They were all fishermen. He calls them, he sees them, and he calls them, and they immediately follow him. And this begins a new journey for them. So it's pretty simple. What we see is Jesus proclaiming good news. The good news is going out. He is calling people to repent and believe. And then we get this up-close recounting of Jesus calling these first disciples. They are coming in. This is a pattern that we see. This pattern that is here at the beginning of Jesus' ministry is the pattern that his followers repeat. As he was calling people to himself, his followers now call people to Christ. Now, these men that were called first, they were fishermen in Galilee. They believed and they followed Jesus. Jesus made them into apostles. He called them to things way beyond Galilee. They were preachers and they were leaders of God's people as they followed him. Something that we'll see here in this passage is that as you come to follow Jesus, he makes you become something greater than you would be apart from him. Something much, much greater. But the basic pattern that we see here is simple, and we'll look at this passage in two parts. The first part is the proclamation, and the second part is the transformation. The proclamation is verses 14 and 15, the message going out. The transformation is people believing that message and following Jesus. That's verses 16 through 20. So let's look at this first one, the proclamation, the message going out. It says that after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee. He was proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." This first phrase gives us a sense of the timing of God. You see, what we see in this passage is that beyond everything that we see in this world, all these things that are happening, God is above it. And in fact, God is orchestrating the things that are happening. He knows what will happen and when it will. So we see the timing of this change from John to Jesus after John was arrested. Literally, that word arrested could be translated handed over, given over, sold out. The word is used in the Gospel of Mark 20 times, and it's mostly towards the end of the Gospel when Jesus is betrayed. He is handed over. It's a word that means when someone is swallowed up by evil, a good person, someone that is on God's side, is swallowed up by evil. And so you see that in chapter 9, verse 31, Jesus is telling his disciples, "This is what's going to happen to me." And he was talking about going to the cross. He said that I will be handed over and killed, and then I will rise again on the third day. in chapter 14, verse 10, Judas goes to the chief priests for the reason of handing over Jesus. And he's making a plan and a deal to do that. So what you see here with John the Baptist is his time in this world, his ministry that was given from God, comes to an end. John the Baptist had completed his work. God gave him work to do, and he had time to do it. And now it's coming to an end. And very typically, for God's people, when that comes to an end, it's being handed over. It's almost like it looks like the world is winning and consuming God's people. But that's not the way it is. John proclaimed the entrance of the Messiah. He was like a light that burned for a while. He had come and he had done his work. He proclaimed that message. And now, according to God's plan, John is sort of sold out by worldly people. His ministry is ending. It's over. And his work is done. The man is swallowed up by evil. It's like a light is snuffed out. But it burned for a while, as God determined that it would. Now, we should take encouragement from this. Because very often, when the godly suffer, and when the godly die, we wonder, God, what are you doing? And we can take comfort because God is completely in control of that. God knows our days. God opens up the opportunity for us. He gives us the energy to do what we can do. He gives us the wisdom to do what we can for him. And it is all according to his plan. It is all according to his timing. And he is good. Now, it says, Jesus came. So John was proclaiming that one that was mightier than him would come, who wouldn't baptize with water, but with the Holy Spirit. The mightier one whom John said would come after him, who would baptize with the Holy Spirit, Jesus, has come. That's what we see here. And it says that when he came, when John exits the scene, Jesus enters, and he was proclaiming the gospel of God. Jesus was going around this region of Galilee, many towns around this lake in Israel, proclaiming good news, proclaiming the gospel of God. Now, this is a picture for us of the first half of what we see here. The message goes out. The message is proclaimed. Jesus is going around proclaiming it. A couple parts here. It says that it's the gospel that he is proclaiming. That word is a familiar word to us. It means the good news. Good news. Well, what is the good news that he's proclaiming? What is the content of Jesus' message as he goes around Galilee? What did he proclaim? What was he saying? Three things. First, he says, the time is fulfilled. Now, we shouldn't skip over that. Jesus is walking around. He's saying that the time is fulfilled. And what we get is that God has a plan for history and for how all things will unfold in history. In the prophet Daniel, who was in exile from Israel, was given visions. God spoke to him and God spoke through him. And what you see in the book of Daniel is that God is sovereign. God is in charge of all the things that are happening in the world. They happen in the little instances of our lives, like Daniel in the lion's den and Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, in the individual lives of his people. And God is sovereign over all nations. And so Daniel was seeing all of these things, and he was getting visions about them. And God showed Daniel, the prophet, how kingdoms would rise and they would fall until an everlasting kingdom would come. And this kingdom would be ruled by an anointed prince, Daniel 9:25. This is God's kingdom. Now it says in chapter 7 of Daniel that this king and this kingdom, Daniel explains this about his vision. Daniel says, "Behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom is one that shall not be destroyed." This is the kingdom of God. This is what was coming. Daniel saw it. After all the other kingdoms war and they come and they go, this kingdom would come and it would last. Now in Daniel, in the book of Daniel, there's a word used over and over again. The word could be translated at the appointed time or when the time is fulfilled. So in Daniel, starting in chapter 2 and going through the whole book of Daniel, these things that Daniel saw that would happen by God's plan at the time appointed by God. They would happen at their appointed time. Notice that when you read the book of Daniel. Here's the point. God has a specific plan for all things, all these things that are happening. And God said that after all these things happen, wars and nations coming and going, evil increasing, people doing crazy things, God's people standing out in this world, then his kingdom would come, and it would be an everlasting kingdom. This is God's plan. God is orchestrating all of this at their appointed time. Now, our connection with Mark is this. Their appointed time, this is the word that's used right here. If you look at the Greek translation of the book of Daniel, that word is the same word that Mark uses right here. When Jesus says, the time is fulfilled. That's the concept that we get. The time has now come. The time is here. It has arrived. This is the appointed time. Well, then we have to ask, the time for what? Well, it's just what Daniel was talking about. The time for the kingdom of God. Jesus says, the time has come. The kingdom of God is at hand. This is Jesus' message as he goes through Galilee. This is the time for God's kingdom to come. It is at hand. It is, that means it is approaching. It's almost here. There's an app I have on my phone called Find My iPhone, and I can see where my wife is. So sometimes, this is just an explanation. Sometimes when she will go and run an errand, and the children are at home with us, what she'll say is, I want you to put away your toys. I want you to clean up your rooms, do something, before I get home. And it's almost like the tortoise and the hare. So they, okay, yeah, mom, yeah. And then I'll open up my phone and I'll say, oh, it looks like mom is a mile away. She'll be home in just a few minutes. And then they go into action because mom is at hand. Now that's the phrase here. That's what Jesus is saying about the kingdom of God. He's saying the time has come and the kingdom of God is right around the corner. It is coming now. How can people be ready for this kingdom? There's a sense of, we have to be ready for this kingdom. It's God's kingdom. God's kingdom is a kingdom of righteousness. Well, Jesus tells us how to be ready. The last and third part of his proclamation in Galilee was this. Repent and believe in the gospel. Now, to repent means to turn, to change direction with your mind and with your life. To repent means to turn from opposing God's kingdom to being a part of God's kingdom, to be aligned with God's kingdom. This is such good news. I hope that we can realize this together. To repent, and God calling us to repent, is good. It's a good thing. Because here's the thing. We have all sinned. We have all gone in rebellion against his kingdom and against him and his rule. We've done that. And so he calls us to just turn away from it. He tells us, turn away from that sin and turn to him. How wonderful this is. For us, thinking about this in our world, we live in what is called a cancel culture. I don't know if you've heard that term. A cancel culture. That's when a celebrity or someone that has a presence on social media, someone in Hollywood or in entertainment, maybe an athlete, someone that's prominent, if they say one thing, if they do one thing that is not popular with this culture, they will get a barrage of hatred, and they will get what is called canceled. Their career will be over. It's done. They don't have a chance of getting jobs anymore. They are rejected and hated. Now, those are on terms of what is always changing with these worldly standards of what is acceptable and not acceptable. The author of Harry Potter is going through that right now. You know why? Because she said that there is such a thing called women, that there is a gender called women. And she is getting hated and rejected. And people are in crisis now because they love the books, and now they're supposed to hate her. What do they do? It's fascinating. That's the cancel culture. God is not like that. Okay? God's rules, first of all, they never change. God's rules are perfect and they are pure. Like Don prayed, his Ten Commandments, they are right. It's wrong to steal. It's wrong to covet. It's wrong to worship others, anything besides God. Those things are always the same, God's rules. And God says, when you break my rules, I want you to return to me and turn away from them, because God is a God who forgives. Let that sink in. When people would come to you, and people have this mindset of a cancel culture, I mean, you might be afraid to even say some of the things you're thinking because someone interprets it the wrong way and they accuse you of thinking a certain way about the riots or the police stuff or the coronavirus. I mean, some people will label you and they will just reject you. And we have a world, especially in America, we have a culture where people are so divided and put into these separated camps. That's not God. God says, look, it's either you're in rebellion against me or you're with me. And even though you have rebelled against God, God says, turn, and you can come back. God is a God who forgives our sins. It's amazing. So what does it mean to repent? It means stop lying. It means stop the sexual sin. Just stop the slander. Stop the sin and believe the good news. See, God welcomes us back on those terms. That's simple. The second part of it, of repenting, and then he says, believe the gospel. But that means put your trust in this good news about the almost here kingdom of God. The good news, the emphasis here, that what is so good about it, the meaning, as Jesus was proclaiming this in Galilee, the emphasis of that phrase, this kingdom of God, is that it's on the person that rules. It's on the king, that Messiah, that anointed one that would come and rule this kingdom. That is the emphasis of this good news. It's the rule of God, of someone who is good and perfect. That is the good news, that God himself will make all things right, that God will do away with what is wrong, and he will punish it. The gospel is that God is offering you terms of peace to come to him and a place in his kingdom. And it begins right now. You align with his kingdom before the judgment of all things, before there is a great separation. You are welcome to align with that kingdom. You are called to come to have life. So this is the first part of this simple thing of what it means to become a follower of Jesus. First, there's the proclamation. This message goes out. It's the same message today. We who are Christians are sharing this message with people all over. God is welcoming sinners to turn back to him and to have life, to be a part of his kingdom. We present this message. This is the good news that we share with people. It's about a person. It's about what he has done to make it possible that we can come to him. The proclamation goes out. The second part of it is this. There is transformation for people that are hearing this message. In response to the proclamation, people believe and they follow Jesus. This is the turning. Notice that there is in the followers of Jesus, these first four men that follow him, they change. There's a change in their life as they respond to this call, to this proclamation. I want you to think about this for your own life. You might not be a Christian and you're listening to this. You might wonder if you're a Christian and you want to know if you are a Christian. You might be a Christian. And I want you to think about what it means to be a Christian here from this passage. It means to be a follower of Jesus. That's the transformation. Okay? The turning. Simon and Andrew had to leave their nets. You see, the picture that we get here is two encounters. First, Jesus is walking along the sea, and he sees Simon and Andrew, and he calls them. Okay? James and John were mending the nets there by the sea also with their father and the hired men. And Jesus sees them and he says to them, "You guys, follow me." Now, there's a turning for all four of these men. They leave their nets or their father. They are going away from what they were doing and their lives actually change. So James and John leave their father Zebedee. Simon and Andrew leave their nets. And here's the thing that we need to see. You can only follow Jesus if you are willing to let everything else go that would hinder you from following him. You have to let those things go, even if they're good things. And as a Christian, as you're walking with Jesus, that's not just how you begin to follow Jesus. That's how you continue with Jesus. If you realize that something is hindering you from following Jesus, even if it's a good thing, you have to let those things go so that you can follow him. Obedience to Jesus is the first and the most basic measure of a true Christian. Obeying him. That's where this metaphor becomes real. This is where the net goes out. Okay, this idea of fishing goes out, and Jesus is calling Simon and Andrew. He says, "I will make you become fishers of men." And what Jesus is doing is he's fishing for men. And what that means is the net goes out. That's the message, the proclamation. And then people are brought in as if they were the fish, as if we are the fish. And what does it mean to be brought to Jesus? It means we turn to follow him. It's just like if we're on a hike. You know, if I was with my family and we're on a hike, someone is in the front. If we're riding bikes, someone is in the front. And the rest of the group is going behind, going the same places, the same paths, the same trails. When we follow Jesus, it's like following him by walking. But what we're doing is we're following him by following his life, by living as he lived, by thinking the way he teaches us to think, by aligning our lives with him. That's what it means to follow Jesus. It's obeying him that is the measure of a follower. So he says, "Follow me." And those who are his actually follow him. We actually obey him. We follow. So a Christian is someone who is loyal to Jesus, who learns to depend on his strength to do this. And a Christian is a person who believes this good news in order to follow Jesus. So here's a question we should ask. How do you do this specifically? Hiking, that's easy. But specifically, how do you obey? Well, I want to address you first. If you are listening to this, or if you have been around Windsor and you've been hearing these things of God's good news, how do you become a follower of Jesus? It's the same message that he said. Just turn away from sin. Now, you don't have to do that perfectly. He will help you do that. And in fact, it's a process. But as much as you understand it, you have to be willing to turn away from that sin and to follow him, to believe him, to trust him. He will take away the burden of sin that would hold you back, that would snare you and tie you down. And he will do something in your life that you'll realize it's only because he could do it. That's what it means to become a follower of Jesus. But what if you are a Christian? What if you have believed? What if you can see in your life, I have trusted him. This is how I think. A Christian is someone that does the very same thing. Even as we go on with life, a Christian is someone who continues to follow Jesus. We continue to repent as we see sin in our lives. As long as we're in this world, we will see things in our lives from which we need to turn. And we need to continue to follow Jesus and even figure that out, how that looks. By listening to him, by learning to obey, we follow. And this means that the Bible has to be right at the center of our life. The Word of God shows us right and wrong. And this is such an amazing thing. God's Word is pure. It is perfect. And we're living in a world where the opinions of what is right and wrong are changing constantly. But following Jesus is simple. It's clear in his word. You know, when we get pulled to react and to act in a certain way or to think in a certain way, and we're not sure what is right or how to handle a situation, God's word stays the same. It is pure. It is never changing. It is always a sure guide for following Christ. Now, something amazing Jesus promises when we follow him is this. We don't have to be stuck just making the best of this world as it is. We don't have to keep mending our nets and just trying to make the best of things in this world. We don't have to be stuck in something that is defined by what is passing away. Look at what he says to those who follow him. Verse 17, Jesus says this, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." This is really cool, okay? Jesus is saying, as a person turns to follow him, as a person becomes one of his followers, he does something in us. He transforms us. Look at the wording, the way it says it. I will make you become fishers of men. This is really astounding. You're not stuck with what is fading. You're not stuck of just making the best of this world and then you die. You can be a part of his kingdom now. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you are a part of this kingdom now. And he is working in you so that you have what you need. He is designing you. He is making you what you ought to be in his mission. You begin to do the work with him of being a fisher of men. You begin to be a part of this eternal work, this thing that will never fade away, never pass. His own kingdom. He welcomes you to come to him, and he says, when you follow me, I will make you become fishers of men. What an amazing thing. As Simon and Andrew, James and John are coming to Jesus, they're like fish that are pulled out of the sea. These men will soon be fishing for people. They will be proclaiming the message, sending out the net by saying, this is the kingdom of God. This is the Savior, the King. They will be casting this net of the gospel, and they will be hauling in souls out of a sea of rebellion against God, out of a sea of sin, and into the kingdom of God while we're still in this world. That's what these men get to do now. That's what a follower of Christ gets to do now. Astounding. Now, how could such a change happen? You know, these guys were next to the sea, and they understood something of what Jesus was saying. But as we see in the gospel, they didn't even get it all. That's okay. As much as you understand that he is the Messiah that God would send, he's the King of God's kingdom, come and follow him. You know, today when we proclaim this message, when we as his followers are sending out this net by proclaiming the message, we have a much fuller picture because what Jesus came to do is done. He came and he died on a cross. And we get to explain that the sin that you had that separated you from God, that was taken away by what he did at the cross for everyone who turns to him. That is taken away. So we have unhindered fellowship with God. We are his people and he is making us what we ought to be. He came alive again from the grave. He died, and we get to proclaim that this is one who overcomes death. And that is true for all who believe in him, that death no longer rules over us. We don't have to fear it anymore. He went back to be with the Father, and he's there in heaven. And when he comes again, his kingdom will be revealed to all people. With our eyes, we will behold that. Right now, we hear it in the message by faith, and we are welcome to come in. And so this is the message that we send out right now. Jesus says to his disciples, I will make you become fishers of men. Our ability to even share this with our friends, you know, we're in a very changing world. And how do we do this? Jesus will work in you to figure out how to share the gospel. You have coworkers, you have friends, you have relatives. They need to have this message proclaimed to them. They need to have you talking with them when you're at dinner. They need to have you talking with them at the office, or, I don't know, when you're texting because you're socially distancing. But as that happens, he will make you become fishers of men. He will guide you in how you can be a part of his eternal work in building his kingdom. When you follow Jesus, he trains you. He makes you a fisher of men. We're in a mission with him. We're gathering in with him. This is significant work. This is work that is, it matters for forever. And we get to do it. He will make you what you ought to be. What a God. He just does it all. And listen, if you are saved, I want you to ask yourself this. If you know that you have turned to him, I want you to use this passage to examine your life. Are you following him as you should? Are you following him closely and becoming a fisher of men? Ask yourself this. Are you fishing for souls? Is that desire in you? Is that work something that weighs on you that you get to do? This is our mission. Are you part of that work? Are you doing anything in this work that God is doing? Let me ask you a few questions. Do you pray for people who are without hope? Do you know that everything, people that don't know Jesus, everything that they truly need and most deeply could possibly desire are to be found with Christ? Do you realize that about your friends that don't know him? And do you put some effort of your life into bringing that message of the gospel to those who don't know? Those are the basics of what it means to be a fisher of souls, of casting this net out, of wanting to bring people in. When you're a fisher of men, when you're a fisher of fish, you expect to catch fish. When you're a fisher of men, you expect to catch people. You expect that you're going to cast this net out. You're going to do things. You're going to pray for people. You're going to share this good news. You're going to say, look, this is what it means. Come and follow Jesus with me. And we will have the expectation that people will come. God will work in their lives. God will be doing that stuff. That's above your pay grade. You can't work in their lives. But those nets get hauled in as we cast them out. And people come to Christ. He makes it happen. Every follower of Christ will be a fisher of men. We're proclaiming one gospel and one kingdom. So here's what we need to know from this passage. Follow Jesus. What it all comes down to in this world, turn from sin and follow Jesus. If you have not been a part of Windsor, but you live in this area and you've caught these live streams, come with us. Come and start visiting us here at Windsor. We want you to follow Jesus with us. Be a part of our church. Come and follow him. He is calling you. My wife pointed out that with both sets of brothers in this gospel, first he sees them, and then he calls them to follow. And this is what I want to say to you. He is calling you. He sees you where you are. He knows everything about you. He sees you where you are, and he will welcome you. He stands ready to forgive your sin and to make you a life, give your life significance, to make you what you ought to be and a part of his kingdom. So turn to him and believe this good news. Let's pray.